Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Hope you're having a good day so far. We're excited about our next guest. He is the color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys on the radio side of things, former Indiana quarterback, and was drafted in the 1983 NFL Draft by the Washington Redskins. We say hello now to Babe Loffenberg, who joins us now. Babe, how you doing?
Doing great. You know, it's funny about that 83 draft. You know, I don't get mentioned the way Elway and Kelly and Marino do.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a big deal, that draft.
Well, you know, it's funny. Gary Kubiak was also in that draft. I think he was like a ninth rounder by Denver. And I always used to kid him when I'd see him. I'd say, hey, why did we never get mentioned, you know? Well, maybe because we weren't Hall of Famers, huh?
Well, we certainly appreciate your time here today. I wanted to start, since you're, you know, obviously involved with the Cowboys, the Titans are conducting their coaching search, and there's two former Cowboys coaches that they have asked to talk to. Mike McCarthy, of course, who was there for a while, and then Jason Garrett, who's been doing TV for the last few years. I'll start with Garrett. Why do you think at this point he's ready to get back in the game, being a head coach again, and why would he be a good fit for the Titans?
Well, I guess in answer to your first question, I think he feels like kind of there's unfinished business. You know, they had good teams here, and they ran into Aaron Rodgers a couple times doing crazy things at the end of games, which they're not the first team to have that happen to. But and I think, you know, you get away from it a little bit, and I think that, you know, you want to scratch that itch again, and I think that's where he is. In full disclosure, you know, I've been friends with Jason Garrett for 30 years, so I will tell you I'm probably a little biased, but, you know, when you look at his record here with the Cowboys, you know, he took over a team. He was the interim coach for 8 games, and I believe it was 09, but they were 1-7. Then they went 5-3 the rest of the year. With a backup quarterback because Tony Romo had been injured. But actually, when he took over as the OC in 07, his first year as the OC here, you know, Tony Romo had 10 games under his belt. So he really developed – he doesn't get the credit for Romo, but he really developed Tony Romo. And then, of course, when he was a head coach, they take Dak Prescott with a fourth-round pick in the 2016 draft. And – you know, the interesting thing about Dak was the third-string quarterback that year. And Tony Romo injured his back in the preseason. Kellen Moore, who was the backup, broke his leg. So it wasn't a situation like you guys have with Cam Ward where you draft him and you say, okay, there's our starter. We'll give him all the reps in OTAs. We'll give him all the reps in training camp. You know, Dak Prescott, about 2 weeks before the season, became the starter. And they went 13-3 that year with Dak. And that was in large part, you know, Jason was the play caller at the time as well as the head coach. And they could have gone 14-2, quite honestly. They had the number one seed locked up, so they played Philly in the last game of the year and, you know, didn't play any of the starters. But it would have been the only Dallas Cowboys team to win 14 games in a season. And I'm still mad at Jason that he didn't play those guys just to get that thing. But anyway, 9 years here, one losing season. And I think he'd be great for Cam Ward. And the whole thing is, obviously, that you got to figure out a guy who's going to develop Cam Ward, and he's done it with two different quarterbacks.
What about McCarthy?
You know, I don't know Mike as well. Obviously, he was here. You know, so it's hard for me to – I mean, obviously, he's had some winning teams, you know, been to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, all that. So he certainly has credentials. As far as working with a quarterback, you know, Jason played the position for 15 years in the NFL, and I don't know. I'm just – I'd be a big believer in Jason Garrett and the way he goes about things. I know, too, you know, he wants to run the ball. And it's funny how, right, you guys have seen it, running the ball kind of went out of fashion, right? It was all of a sudden, well, we don't need a running back. We don't need this. And then Saquon goes for 2,000 last year, and everybody's looking for a running back. So I do know what one of his basic tenets is, we got to be able to run the football. And I'm sure he would establish that there.
Talking to Babe Loffenberg, you know, I watched Jason Garrett on TV. I mean, he seems like he's comfortable doing that, but I guess, Babe, once a coach, always a coach?
I think so. You know, you see, how many times do you see the John Grudens, and very few of them have stayed out. And if you're old enough to remember Dick Vermeil, I mean, he was out of coaching for, what, 15 years?
That's right.
Doing TV, and Joe Gibbs, right? He was probably gone for, I don't know, I'm trying to remember exactly, but you know, 8-10 years and went back to Washington. So, yeah, I think when you're a coach, I think when you decide you want to be a coach, that's kind of in your blood, and I don't think it ever leaves you. And that's why you see, again, Mike McCarthy, what, 63, 64?
Right.
Wanting to get back in, all these, you know, Bill Belichick going to North Carolina.
Yeah.
74, you know. Tom Moore, what, I know he just retired, right? The
Yes.
The Tampa Bay, what is he, 87?
Something like 80? That, yeah, right.
I mean, so, you know, it gets in your blood, and, it's hard to get it out, I guess.
Absolutely. Chase and I, you know, we're here in Nashville. You're outside the Nashville bubble. When you think about the Tennessee Titans right now, what do you think about, babe?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't see a ton of them this year. It's funny. I was just talking to somebody earlier today. When you're doing the games, when you're doing the Cowboy games, I'm there at the stadium 3 hours before the game. I leave about an hour and a half after it's over. So any of the Sunday games, unless I go back and look at them, I don't see them. And Tennessee obviously was not a national team. You didn't see them on Sunday Night Football a bunch, Monday Night, all that. I do know I liked Cam Ward coming out. Any young quarterback, almost any young quarterback, is going to go through growing pains. And, you know, certainly he went through that there. But, I've always, you know, I'm biased. Again, I like Nashville. I like the city.
Right.
who doesn't? But, you know, and many times, too, the Cowboys will be playing a team that I look at the last three or four games of the other team, and it just seemed like the Cowboys never lined up that they played a team that had Tennessee. So I saw a couple games, but I'd be lying if I said I could give you a real great evaluation of that team.
Oh, that's good. I mean, people are like, well, nobody wants to come to Tennessee, and I'm thinking, look, there's only 32 of these jobs in the world. Yep. People want to coach in the National Football League, right?
Well, and I know Dave Borgonzi is – Mike Borgonzi's brother, who, of course, is your GM, as you know, and he's a linebackers coach here for the Cowboys, and I've known Dave for a long time, and I think Mike Borgonzi is going to put that team, you know, on a good path. And, you know, it takes time. I know everybody wants things to turn around immediately, but it takes time to build these things. And, you know, it's funny. It happens quickly, and it can disappear quickly, as you guys have seen there, even in Tennessee. But you look at Detroit and Washington last year. You know, Washington's in the NFC Championship game. This year they go 5-12. So I was talking to a Bears fan today who was all doom and gloom. Oh, Packers are going to I said, look, enjoy it. He said, no, next year's going to be our year. I said, you know what? That's what Washington said last year. That's what Detroit said last year. They're not in the playoffs.
Babe Laufenberg is with us. Now, you played quarterback for Lee Corso at Indiana, so I have a feeling you got some plans tonight. You got to be excited about this.
Oh, yeah. You know, I went to the Rose Bowl, but as you can tell, and I apologize, I got a nasty head cold working and just a lot of travel with Cowboys and everything else. And I just said, I'm gonna sit on the couch and enjoy this. But, yeah, it's fun. And what's funny, guys, is people say – I was bragging a little bit the other day. I'm not one of those obnoxious fans, just so you know, but I was bragging a little bit. And they say, hey, act like you've been there. And I say, hey, we've never been here. I said, if we'd been there. But – it's Mendoza. What a great story he is, as you guys know. Kurt Cignetti. I look at Cignetti, too, and I think about this, guys. How did this guy elude everybody in these coaching hires for 30 years, right? I mean, he was 61 when he gets hired at Indiana, and we know, obviously, you see what he's done there. So I want to go back and look at a Harvard case study and say, okay, what did this guy have that we missed as they hire all these other coaches that turn out to be failures? I mean, I'd love to bottle that up. But and let me just say that it is, and I've watched a bunch of Indiana. I have watched them. It is the most well-coached team, I think, at any level of football. They just do not make mistakes. They do not beat themselves. I go to the Rose Bowl. They had zero turnovers. They had one penalty. You're going to win a lot of games like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We had Tom Lugenbill yesterday. He talked about that defense has only had 11 penalties all year long. 11 penalties!
Yeah. They just – you will not see, as I say that, watch. They're going to get three personal fouls. Late hits right. And hitting guys in the bench. But they do not – I mean, they are the most – again, they are the most well-coached team that you will see. They just do not make mistakes. The tackling is outstanding. Very quickly – I did a little research. I had actually somebody else do the research. But when they played Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, Indiana had 8 zero-star players as starters.
Wow.
Eight guys with zero stars coming out of high school. Ohio State had nothing less than a 3-star. And we saw what happened in the game. And that's coaching.
It's absolutely coaching. You know, you spoke a moment ago about Dick Vermeil. You know, when Dick Vermeil came back to the NFL, he came back because a former Indiana quarterback was going to be his quarterback with the Rams, right? Yes. Trent Green.
Yeah, Trent Green.
Was his guy. So you and Trent Green and everybody else involved in this program, it's still, babe, I look at Indiana, thinking, oh, it's a basketball school, and I'm trying to convince myself how good they are. And I think when they win the national championship, I'll probably be able to say, that's a damn good football team.
Well, I think people, as you guys know, they're starting to come around to the fact that it's not a fluke, that these guys are it's a good team, they're well-coached, they have talent, all the above. And it's funny, somebody had said when Indiana played Alabama in the Rose Bowl, they said if you stripped the uniforms off Indiana and you just put Ohio State on all those players, they would have been 20-point favorites.
Right.
And they go out and they beat them by 35, right? It was funny. I'm leaving the game. Okay, you'll appreciate this. I'm leaving the game, and it's 38. We just beat Alabama 38-3. And I'm walking out, and there's an Alabama fan there, and they're obviously, you know, upset. They said, oh, if we had had Saban, if you had Saban, you would have lost 38-6. let's not pretend that Saban was worth 35 points here, fellas.
Oh, that's a good point. Look, babe, you're good friends with Troy Aikman. And I think the Dolphins bringing in Troy as a consultant for their program and the GM was brilliant. And I don't know why more teams don't do the same. Even though he has no allegiance to the Dolphins, he knows football and he knows players. And I think that was just a great thing by the Dolphins to do that.
No, and I agree with you. I don't know why more teams don't get guys like him. I mean, here's a 3-time Super Bowl champ. And trust me, he wasn't a guy, as we know, he wasn't a guy that was on the team. You know, I went to the Super Bowl my rookie year with Washington, okay? I was the third quarterback. I never played a down. I can't take any credit that year for us going to the Super Bowl. He gets a lot of credit for them going and winning.
Yes.
I was teammates with Troy for 2 years, so I know the personality. I know that the dedication. You can tell in the work he does on TV. He's prepared. Trust me. I will text him. Or I'll get a text from him at 5 in the morning. I wake up about 9. And I see, I got a text from Troy at 5, and he says he's watching tape of whatever the game is, right? So I think it's great. And again, yeah, to your point, why more teams don't do it. And the other part is, obviously, with his job, he's going around the league. So
yes.
Unlike me, who's covering one team, and I know other coaches around the league and keep up with them a little bit, but not the way he does. He's in those buildings. He's talking to people. I remember the guy you guys fired. He was a big Mike Vrabel fan. Before Vrabel became a head coach, and he was just saying, this guy is going to be really, really good. And I know you guys had him for a while, but he's doing pretty well in New England this year, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I wish we still had him, that is for sure. But Babe Loffenberg is with us. So I haven't mentioned this yet, but growing up, before the Titans were here, I was a huge Cowboys fan, and I still am. Uh-huh. I mean, I still love the Cowboys. And in doing my research for this interview, I have to ask you about this because Daryl Moose Johnston was one of my favorite players. Did you give him the nickname Moose?
I sure did.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, quick story on that. So we're sitting in the running backs and tight ends, you know, they go in with the offensive line for kind of half the meetings, if you will. They get the run game and the blocking. And then they come down for the passing game with the quarterbacks and receivers. So I'm sitting next to Troy in our meeting room, and, you know, there's a break, and in come the running backs and tight ends. Well, we had a bunch of 5'9 running backs at the time. They're coming through the door, and we're just seeing them kind of walk in. And I just said to Troy, I said, look at Daryl. I said, the guy is a moose among the deer. Because here comes Daryl, you know, 6'3", 245, with all these 5'9", 180-pound guys. So I just said, and then it just stuck. It was one of those things. You know, I don't know how you got Big Joe. Big Joe, is there a little Joe out there somewhere?
It's my son, and he's bigger than I am.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
Right?
So you know how some names, hey, I'm Babe, for God's sake, right? I was Babe since I was 2 years old. So some nicknames stick, and it wasn't like I said, hey, I'm gonna name him Moose, and he's going to make a fortune off of that nickname. But and it was perfect. I mean, Moose Johnston what better name for a fullback, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you tell me how's Daryl Johnson doing, I'm like, who? If you say Moose Johnson, right. I'm like, oh, Moose. Yeah, I know Moose. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Every time, if I leave him a message or if I call him, or if he calls me even, the first thing is not, hey, how you doing or what? It's, we give a Moose call. Now, and I will tell you this. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I actually don't know what a Moose sounds like when you give a Moose call, but I give one. I do it to the best of my ability.
I love that.
Nice. Now, Babe, did you play for Jimmy for a little bit?
I did, 2 years. Yep. It was funny when I came here in 89, which was Jimmy's first year, Jimmy Johnson, of course, and I get released in training camp of 91, and I go into the office, and, you know, at that time, it's coach wants to see you bring your playbook type thing. So I go in, and I had a good relationship with Coach Johnson, but anyway, he said, hey, Babe, he said, I appreciate all your work. I think you're a good player. You've done a lot for this football team. Really, really appreciate everything about you. But he said, we're going to just go in a different direction at quarterback. And I said, Coach, I said, now, are you sure? I said, I'm a good player. I've done everything you've asked. I'm a leader. Sure you want to get rid of me? And he just laughed, you know, the Jimmy. I'm pretty sure we're going to do this. I told him, I said, that sounds like the kind of player you want to keep around, Coach. And he just got a chuckle. Let me ask you this.
You were there. Why did he ever bring in Steve Walsh? Was it to fire Troy up a little bit?
There's a lot of revisionist history there. But why would you – are you guys going to draft a guy in the first round this year to fire up Cam Ward?
I hope not.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, so – and that's why they had a very – you know, Jimmy and Troy are like best buddies now and have been for a number of years. But – there was a very contentious relationship between those two the first couple of years because, okay, think about it. Here's a guy. You just took Troy number one, right, overall. And then in the supplemental draft that year, Jimmy takes the quarterback that just won a national championship for him. Now, how would that make you feel? Like, oh, yeah, this guy really believes in me.
Yeah, right.
And so it was, again, it was contentious. I'll never forget, we're ready to play the Rams in Los Angeles. Troy and I were roommates on the road and you know, at the hotels and all that. And he was wanting to be traded. It was about week 10. Oof. And he was beside himself. And he said, I'm getting out of here. And I said, I thought to myself, this is the day of the game, right? I mean, we'll wake up, we're talking before we get on the bus. And I'm thinking, this is not a good mindset to go and play an NFL game when you're sitting there ready to say, I may go to him at halftime and say, trade my ass.
But oh my.
We come out, I'm the backup. We run a in route, a little simple. Anyway, it's like 3rd and 10. He throws into, well, we call it cover 5. There were 5 guys on the receiver. I mean, jeez. And this ball's intercepted, and it's the very first third. It's like the third play of the game, and I just thought to myself, okay, I'm going in. This guy, he can't function. Anyway, long and short, we come back. He has a great game by the end of it. We beat the Rams, get on a little bit of a roll, and that kind of turned things around. But it's funny how relationships work, right?
Yes.
Again, he wanted out, and then he ends up winning 3 Super Bowls with Jimmy. And, again, they are basically best friends.
That is fantastic. Did you watch the documentary that came out recently?
I did not. There's a lot of revisionist history and that thing, so I didn't even bother. I was there. I lived it. I know it. I'm friends with these guys. I know what happened. So,
yeah.
I've never watched a soap opera, and so I wasn't going to start with this one.
I do know
people loved it, and that's great, you know.
Yeah.
But I hate to say when you're sort of on the inside and you're like, well, that didn't happen. Yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah,
right.
That didn't happen.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I get it. I totally get it.
But it makes good, obviously, TV, good viewing.
Yeah. For sure. Babe, thanks so much for doing this today. I know our mutual friend Greg Pogue set it up, and we appreciate that. But really good stuff, and we'd love to do it again down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and have a great weekend. Enjoy the Indiana win tonight and the weekend of NFL football.
Absolutely. We will. Yes. Thank you, Babe. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Babe Laufenberg joining us, the color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys and former Indiana quarterback. That was fun.
Right,
we
could do 3 hours with him.
I know.
That was great. I love the stories.
Thank you, Pogie.
The little stories, the sidebar stories that happened, which developed where they are, but really cool. That was nice.
We will come back with more. Chasing Big Joe presented by the Omni 102.5 The Game.